paraclete. You know, this is an English word that comes from the Greek word parakletos, which is to say comforter, counselor. The interesting part of the word is that you kaoklik means to call out. It demands action on your part. And Christ, when he left, he said, I'm not really leaving you. I'm still going to be with you. We're going to begin in that great chapter 14, St. John, where he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. That word mansions isn't like you look at it today in the English. It's mono, and it means a resting place. And let me tell you something. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to go into that resting place. It's Christ. It's his spirit. It's our Father's spirit. And you can have that rest today. You don't have to be all strung out, uptight, run over, pressed down. Free yourself. You know, enjoy life. Be in him and with him. Go on into that mansion, if you want to call it that. You know, people kind of uppity might like that. But, you know, just a resting place. Peace of mind is far superior to a mansion as we call one today. Peace of mind is priceless. You know where you find it? You find it in him, in that resting place. But he was going to be taken away from us for a very short time, but he promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How can he do that? How can that be possible? That was a question of the disciples. Just how can he do that? And we pick it up, if we may, when in the ninth verse of that 14th chapter, which all of you are so familiar with it, you've got it memorized even, when Philip would have asked him a question about, what do you mean? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Show us the Father. Now, that's kind of dumb in a way. I don't want to call him dumb, but that's really not, your spiritual mind isn't open really, is it? And he answered, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Don't you know I'm Emmanuel? Don't you know I'm God with you? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? What did Father say when he said, let us create man in our image? In the Hebrew, it was et ha-adam. Okay? Because when you see the Son, you've seen the Father. Why? It's in his image, the only begotten Son. That's what it's all about. In other words, he didn't ask you to do something that he wasn't willing to do himself. And he did it in the Son. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am? That's the sacred name. Iya Asha Iya in the Hebrew tongue. I am that I am. I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You know, this word dwelling is almost akin to that mansion, abiding, dwelling in him. Do you? You know, or do you just play? You know, Christian. Do you really dwell in him, and he dwells in you, in the Spirit? Verse 11. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works. In other words, he had caused paralyzed people to pick up their beds, their pallets, and walk with them. He had healed leprosy just like that. White as snow, and then that healthy flesh appeared. Just miracle after miracle. Raised the dead. You know, how can you question Messiah? They did. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Think about that a minute. Don't read over it. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What does that mean? It means greater works are you going to do, because I'm going to the Father, and we're going to send the Holy Spirit. We're going to send Paraclete, your counselor, he that helps you, one you call out for. I'm going to tell you something. Man can make it in this world, but not very good on his own. Oh, well, of course you can make it in the world. I can cheat anybody out of anything. That's the way I want to live. I can high pressure anybody into selling something cheap, and I'll sell it high. Just way of the world, let it rip. Okay, that's not real smart, you know, because ill-gotten gains won't get you anywhere. There's no sin in being rich. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but that's God's blessings when you're an honest person, when you're an honest dealer. Nothing wrong with that. But be careful, my friend, when you learn the ways of the world, do it God's way, okay? Let God be in you. Now, why did he say greater works than these? And he's talking about doing his work. You know, they didn't have satellites back in those days. We can reach so many more people all at one time. Just bang, push a button, cover the world. You know, and I suppose this little chapel in Northwest Arkansas spends more time on television, 350 television stations. Every satellite that's up there that's commercial, we're on. We probably spend more hours teaching, playing games? No, teaching God's word, not man's. Not my word, not your word, but God's word. Of what it is our Heavenly Father wishes people to hear, to know him, to mansion in him, to call out to him. Okay. But that's not something you should get the big head about, is when he would say greater things. Why? Do you know why? It's still him doing it. The Spirit with us. You can't take credit for it, because God gives you a gift, big deal. I mean, it is a big deal, but it's still he that does it. And you want to be real careful and humble about taking credit for anything. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What is it? You can ask anything you want. That's all a lot of people hear, just the first part of that. What was the purpose? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. You ask in the Son's name, that gives you credentials. But you ask for things that glorify God, not something that glorifies you. You know, if you're going to ask for something to glorify you, forget it. I'll tell you something else on the same sentence, the same subject, though. If you earn it, he'll see you get it. But he's not going to give it to you. I'm not talking about gifts now. I'm talking about things for yourself. Things for yourself. If you earn it, he'll see you get it. But don't pray for it and expect him to give it to you. As he said, you do my work. I know what you have need of. In other words, payday comes around, but you're going to earn it first. Okay? There are conditions in God's word, and some people like to hear promises, but they don't read the conditions. The purpose of what you ask should be to glorify God. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in his name for what? Glorifying God. To help God's work. Do you know something? You get preachers will say, well, I'd sure like to have a new church. Well, hey, God will give you the bricks, but you're going to build it. You're going to get out there and hump it. Well, I'd like to be a very wealthy person. Well, get out there and earn it. Hump it. If you're going to do it to glorify God, he'll arrange it. But you've got to hump it, friend. There's no such thing as luck. The harder you work, the better off you're going to be, period. Okay? There are no free rides for honest people in this world. There are a bunch of crooks sometimes that try to take free rides. Don't worry, it won't last. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, did you hear that? Well, I love him. He said, if you love me, keep my, do what I tell you. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, Paracletus, that he may abide with you forever. Not just a little while. Well, I feel all alone. I'm by myself. No, you're not. Not if you do his commandments. He's going to take care of you. It's his promise. It's for sure. You know, I have people that are really down, and they'll say to me, well, you make it sound so easy. It is. You just, God doesn't particularly care for wimps. Okay? I mean, a lot of people would be offended with that, but it's the truth. If you have the brass to not be a quitter, God will help you. You'll be just fine. But God doesn't like quitters, and he doesn't like wimps. He wants people that'll get up and stand up on their own, speak out for him. You know, let me ask you a question. What, you know, God always rewards those that represent him well. How could a wimp represent the creator of the universe? Let me ask that again. It's even hard to get a grasp on. How could a wimp represent God, the creator of the universe, the lover of all mankind? How could a wimp do that? It's real simple. A wimp couldn't. Okay. Now, you might say, well, are you saying, you know, just because it's not a sin maybe to be a wimp, but it's a sin to stay that way. Okay. Get a hold of your bootstraps. Pull yourself up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself if you ever get in that position. And you be a child of God. You look like it and you act like it. That's his promise, okay? He keeps his promises, but you've got to do your part. If you love me, do my commandments. Don't play games with me. That's what he's saying in a way. And I will send you somebody that will be with you, not tomorrow, not the next day, forever. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, okay? But here he promised this comforter. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Now, what is this Holy Spirit? The Spirit of truth. Where do you find the truth? God's Word. Every word of it, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, not some one verse revolving web, popping here and popping there. It's what God has to say. Whom the world cannot receive, they just don't have ears for it, because it seeth him not. He could be standing right in front of them, and they wouldn't know he was there. That is to say, to know who he was. Neither knoweth him, but you knew him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He's going to mansion in you. You're going to rest in him. Again, that's what mano, the word, the Greek word for mansion, means resting place. Your only resting place is in him. There you find peace of mind. There you find strength. There you find success. There you find prosperity. If you love him, do his commandments. 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, how can Jesus say he's coming to us when he said, I'm going to send another? It's his Spirit. The Spirit of he and our Father. He's not going to leave you. That is the Holy Spirit. That is your resting place. He didn't establish a church and then run off and hide. He's with you. That's why if you set your mind to it, you can accomplish a great deal. I don't care if you are in Northwest Arkansas or if you're in Northwest Yongdongpo. Okay, that's a little town in Korea, in case you didn't know it. They had quite a, I don't know why it is, a lot of Marines and Army people remember that town, and you know what? I don't know why they would. It's a little town outside of Seoul, but it had one of the biggest breweries I've ever seen in my life. And it seems like people sure remember it. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter where you are. He's with you if you do his will. verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. That means eternally, my friend. He lives, do you? Do you just get by from one day to the next? Do you not see the future? Do you not see that in Christ and in our Father, that we have everything we want? We got a little bit of plowing to do here yet on this earth to try to save some souls. Some of them misguided and some of them looking for guidance. I don't know. Do you feel up to it? You know, planting a little seed here and there is a wonderful thing. He didn't expect you to do it all by yourself, but it's how you live and whether you mention in Him and He in you. He'll make arrangements. He'll take care of you when you do your part. A lot of ifs in God's commission. A lot of people don't read the ifs. I will bless you if. Okay, verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What a family. You know, you're a child of God. Act like it. Love Him. How can you help but love Him for what He has done for us? 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Now let's see, what did he say? He said, he that has my commandments. No, he added to that, and keepeth them. There's a big difference. And keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and we will will manifest myself to him. I'll make myself known. I'll be there. There are conditions within that, and there are conditions you have to meet. Now, why did I come to Paraclete? And why did I want to cover this Greek word? Because so many people, Christians, have a bad habit. They really do. They parakletos, the Greek word for paraclete. He's my attorney sitting up there by God, speaking to God for me. Now, after what we just covered, how could he, when you've seen him, you've seen God, how could he be a go-between you and God? Because Emmanuel is God. That doesn't really make sense to you, does it? I mean, it seems like something, because he is not your go-between, him, himself, and God. He is your attorney. He is your go-between yourself and the world. The ways of the world, not God. That's what paraclete means. That's what the whole thought is, that he stands with you when the world gives you trouble. And he conquers the world with and for you. He is your counselor. Again, not between you and God. You know something? God isn't angry at you. God loves you. You don't need an attorney between you and our Heavenly Father. He even knows what you think. I mean, it's all filleted. Your mind is filleted right out in front of Him. You don't. It wouldn't do you any good to have a counselor anyway between you and He. Now, don't you ever dare say that I'm taking away from the Comforter. No, I want you to put God's Word in its proper perspective. It protects you from the world. That's what he is a counselor of. Things you get hung up on, bad habits. That's why I always tell you, rather than making great promises that you're going to break habits, I'll never do that again, God, and you know all the time that your weakness, your old flesh, is going to say, if I don't have another cigarette, I'm going to die. And I'm just using that as, you know, something here. Don't promise him you're never going to smoke again when you know that's probably not going to be true. Ask him for the strength to overcome it. Okay. Now, I'm not picking on smokers. I used to smoke myself. Hey, I know what it's like to kick those things. It's not an easy thing. it's tough, okay? But again, and how did I get off on this? Okay, how did I get off on this? I'll tell you one thing. You will never quit those things until you turn it over to Him and want to, okay? Otherwise, you're going to sneak. You're going to get out behind the barn and probably burn the barn down. Anyway, watch yourself. Ask Him for the strength to get over it, okay? And then He'll start working with you. Okay, now back to the fact that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is not your lawyer, your ambassador to God Himself. I mean, He's there with God, Emmanuel, God with us. He is your ambassador to the world when you get in trouble and tired. But better pronounced Kyle in the Greek, is to call out. Let Him know. Talk to Him. I mean, you've got, do I want to say this? Yeah, I'll say it. You have a full-time lawyer on staff when you need help for something that's happening to you in this world, something that's probably giving you problems in this world, something you want to accomplish in this world. Talk to Him. That's what He is for. Not, you see, why this bothers me a little bit. Christians get on guilt trips. I wonder why. Because we're bad sometimes, I guess. I don't know. But Christians do. They just get on, oh God, I'm a bad person. No, not really. Okay, you're not compared to a bad person is somebody that cuts somebody's head off. Okay. Oh, Lord, I'd never have that. Well, that's what I'm talking about, okay? Hey, being an old combat Marine, I can tell you what bad people are like, okay? And I could follow that up by saying I can tell you what to do with them, too, but I won't do that. But Christians get on guilt trips, and they just really... do you know, when you get on a guilt trip over things that when you've repented, it's gone. What in the world do you want to waste your time thinking or talking about it? It's all right to remember it so you don't do it again. But think positive. When the world offends you, ask Him to step in. That's why we have a Comforter. That's how you find peace of mind. Don't let that slip away from you. By saying, Jesus, would you approach the Father and tell Him I've sinned? No, you ask for forgiveness in Christ's name. Face the Father yourself. Okay? Don't namby-pamby around. And ask forgiveness. He'll give it. And then when He says, I forgive it, I don't want to hear about it again. Okay? You get on with my business. So, He is our counselor between ourselves and the world and the help we need in it, not between Himself and God. Okay, you're wasting your time thinking such a thing. Get right back down to it, and when the world offends you, tell Him you need help. Hey, I'll tell you one thing, you'll get it at His time and His will. And take care of business. Let Him know. Stand up. Be a child of God. Well, let me ask you something. Don't you think that being a child of God gives you certain rights? You know, don't you think you got it coming? If you've earned it, you're His child. You don't have to worry about asking Him to help you with something. He's got time. And it makes His day when you say, Father, I love You and I need Your help in this situation. And He'll answer with the love in His heart. He'll say, child, let me see what the problem is. Let's fix it. Let's do something about it. You have that right because you are His child. You're a child of God. Act like it. Live like it. I mean, cut a wide swath for Him. I'm not saying make a spectacle of yourself. I'm saying show the world that a child of God can go where they want to. They're not second-class citizens. They can pray to Him. They can have whatever they need to do His work. They are not quitters. They are people that accomplish things. And they don't take nothing off nobody that has to do with downgrading our Messiah. If they want to get put in their place, just let them snicker. Even in a public place where Christ's name is mentioned. And in a very nice way. Fix it. Okay? You know, words are powerful things. A person that is skilled in the Word of God is like having a sharp razor and just taking slices, okay, off of an enemy. I'm speaking spiritually now, okay? Don't anyone say, that pastor down there teaches, get that razor out and swap them. No, I'm talking spiritual here, okay? Don't, listen, if someone says something negative about Jesus Christ, He died on the cross for that sinner that said it. He shouldn't be allowed. I mean, he needs to educate himself. He needs a little attitude adjustment. Give it to him. Okay? Give it to him. You might save his soul. And lest I be digressing, let's move on one more verse in this chapter from where we are. Knowing that He is our intercessor, He is our counselor, He is the summoned person called in to help us. And He is our helper, even the word means in court. Not between ourselves and our Father, but the world where you live, where you're in trouble, how you find peace of mind. Verse 26, listen carefully. But the Comforter, Paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit, which the word in the Greek is pneuma. There's no reason for translating it ghost or spook. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit. It's Christ's Spirit. It's God's Spirit. Whom the Father will send in my name. Not maybe, not perhaps. He will send in my name. What does that mean? When you ask in Jesus' name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's saying a lot. Do you know something? If you ever want proof, if you're studying and you really want to grasp something and it's not coming through and you know it, ask Him to clear your mind, to open your spiritual eyes, to give you that sight that you can see the in-depth meaning, the simplicity in which Christ teaches. And you know something? Many times in my study and research, I pray for more understanding. And you know what? When I've done the work and I prayerfully sit back and ask, a whole paragraph will pop in there, you know, and He'll give it. If you will do the work, He will give you the understanding, okay? And it will be according to His word and His manuscripts, not man's traditions, okay? Now, continue. While we're in, you know, John covered this better than anyone else, basically. This word paraclete, the comforter. He spoke of it more. Go with me to the 15th chapter here now, and let's pick it up, if we may, in the 16th verse. Chapter 15, St. John, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, there's destiny in that, my friend. Okay? And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Well, what are you supposed to do? Be an old tree that never sprouts or never has any fruit on it? No, you're supposed to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. In other words, if you're ordained, and I'm speaking spiritually again here, okay, as this is, you have a destiny and a purpose in life. You're not just drifting from one day to the next. He said, you didn't choose me. It wasn't any accident. I chose you. And naturally, it is so sad that so many people not understanding the manuscripts don't realize there was an earth age before this one. and that Satan rebelled, and a lot of people fought against him. He didn't choose those and call them elect because they were pretty. They earned it. That's why foreordained is mentioned in many places. Doesn't make them special. It just means they can't stand Satan, and they know how to do battle with him. Okay, verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another, and you should. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Many of you will say, I want to walk in the footsteps of Christ. You better be careful, they crucified him. They're going to give you trouble. You might say, well, you're a pastor, do they give you trouble? Yeah, but do you think it bothers me? Do you think it would cause me a big worry because someone said, that man believes in Jesus Christ? I'm proud of it. Okay. Doesn't bother me one iota. Now, I don't mind on television or anywhere else letting people know. Okay. The world hated him, and we're not talking about people. We're talking about the world and its ways. Okay, they're going to hate you too. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And it will, when you make that stand, okay? But again, big deal, okay? We've got eternal life. They're going to fly like a piece of bacon, all right? Bye-bye. Have a good day. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. That could never be. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Some people have ears to hear, some don't. Sorry, that's the way it is. Well, does that mean they're going to hell? No, it doesn't at all. If they don't have the courage to stand against the spurious Messiah, if they're not child of God enough, it's better they be left blind. Okay. See you in the millennium. 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know our Heavenly Father. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, I laid the law down. I gave them right from wrong. They understand. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Puts them in a bad light, my friend. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both sinned and hated both me and my Father. And of course, what he's talking about here is the tares, okay, the Kenites, that really stir trouble, can cause trouble. Well, what are we supposed to do about them? Leave them alone? But be wiser than the serpent, but be peaceful as a dove. 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law that hated me without a cause. Psalms 35 verse 19. You might make a note of it. It said they wink, they mock. And you can see people today, and I mean, especially among the press, okay? I mean, you can see their voice raise a notch and, oh, you're a Christian. You know, and they mock, and there's nothing new under the sun, and make light of it. That's okay. Hey, just tell them whatever is the Holy Spirit leads you. He'll take care of business for you and with you and in you. 26. But when the Comforter, the Paraclete, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send, not maybe, not perhaps, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Do you understand why it's easy for you to pick up on truth when some other people just can't see it? Which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. It will be verified. Truth. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Wait a minute. What beginning? Well, just what it said, from the beginning. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you because you rebelled. When Satan rebelled, you fought him. Listen to this scripture. I'm not going there. I just want you to remember it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I chose you before the foundations of the world. The Greek noun, katabo, means the overthrow. You with companion Bibles, you have an appendix number 146 that documents what happened there, what Satan did. And it will help you a great deal in that study. But today, parakeet. He that is not between you and the Father, but he that is between you and the world. That is to say, not between, but helping. The world is still going to burn you if it gets a chance. The wiser you are in God's Word to know, do you know something? Knowing God's Word and knowing what governments are going to be doing makes you a very successful businessman. And that's the way it is. I'm glad that I've never had to take a salary for teaching God's Word for over 50 years. And you notice we never take an offering in here. God blesses and keeps a work going as it should be if it's teaching His Word, His way, in His name. The Comforter. He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. One more place here in this great little book here. In the epistles of John, the epistles right back before the great book of Revelation. I want to go back. I've turned you away from 16 and I want to go there a minute. Okay? Chapter 16 of St. John. We're going to forego the epistle. 16th chapter of St. John. I'm going to pick it up in verse 7. I apologize for throwing you all a curve, but you can handle it, can't you? Proud of you. All right. Verse 7 of chapter 16 reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is expedient for you that I go away." Do you understand that? It's best for you that I go away, that I be crucified, and that I return to the Father. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. That was God's plan coming out the gate from the beginning, okay? And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He helps you decide. Do you understand that? He helps you decide right from wrong. Of sin, because they believe not on me. You can see the sin. And you can see the sin because they don't do it God's way. They don't do it the Messiah's way. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, I go there to be your advocate between you and that sin, and we'll do fine. We'll do just fine. You've got to believe that, beloved, and he will visit you as he always does. And he will protect you. Of judgment, to make sure things are justified, because the prince of this world is judged. He was already judged in Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19. And the ultimate, he will be turned to ashes. Okay. And that judgment is going to protect you. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Unfortunately, that's true. Many times we have to mature. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, who is that? That's the Comforter. The Spirit of Truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. How much? All truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, because it will be God speaking. Now, I want to tell you something. Many of you might say, well, what has this got to do with me? Well, you stick around just a minute, and I'm going to tell you, Okay. It has a lot to do with you, but I mean even further than that. 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. God blesses those who use the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Do you understand that all things are put under his power? And you're ashamed to ask? Don't be. All right, for the right reasons, of course. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Why? And the Paraclete, the Comforter, your advocate that helps you in this world. Many of you might say, well, how is it that I need to know all things, and what is that Spirit going to have to do with me? Have you never read Mark 13? Where it states very clearly that you shall be delivered up before the synagogue of Satan? Not maybe, not perhaps, from the mouth of Jesus, the Antichrist shall come. Not maybe. And he comes at the sixth trump, not the seventh, when Christ returns. And there's no such thing as a so-called rapture. The word's not even in the Bible. And people that preach that stuff, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and they start reading with 15 or 16 instead of picking the subject up in 13 as to where the dead are. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen. For those that are asleep, if you believe Christ rose from the dead, you better believe those that are asleep in him have risen also. To be absent from this body is present with the Lord. It has already happened. There's no way we can living can perceive those that are dead, why they're already gone. Now, what does it say, though, in Mark 13 about this Spirit? It says, when you're delivered up before the Spirit's Messiah, when he appears, this separates Christians from would-be's. When you're delivered up before the Spirit's Messiah, you will not premeditate what you will say, but it will what? Every one of you knows the answer. It will be given to you in that moment, for it is not you that speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. It is the Comforter that speaks through you. Mark 13. What a blessed time to live, to be a Christian. Many of the prophets wanted to live now. Now, a really good student of the Bible that I was talking with concerning this yesterday said, you know, this reminds me of something. It reminds me of the scripture that sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. And do you know something? That's exactly true. Turn with me in closing to the great book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, in closing, just a few verses here. This is written to the saints. The word saints means set aside ones. That means ones that love Jesus, that love the Father. Verse 26 reads in the 8th chapter, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It helps our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit does. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And you don't. You try, but you don't know sometimes exactly what God might want from you. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings, that's to say sighs, which cannot be uttered. He helps us. He helps you make those decisions. He guides your way when you love him. 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for these saints, set aside ones, chosen, according to the will of God. Not man's will, but God's will. So there's no mess ups. 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That was one of the qualifications. Love me and keep my commandments. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Not yours, not somebody else's, not even some church's. God's purpose. What? He's putting together a people to witness against the spurious Messiah and his children. It's going to happen. Jesus didn't say, maybe it is. He said, it will. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, knew from before, when? First earth age, of course. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that likeness, that love, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that someone God could use, someone the Holy Spirit could speak through, someone he could trust to know what was happening. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. I hope you understand what the word predestinate means. Them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. That means judged. He judged them when he called them so that he can interfere in their lives if he so chooses, and it won't be held accountable on judgment day. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That still doesn't make them honey bunnies or special people. They're just servants of God. That's all. Children of God. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Wouldn't do them any good. This is why that Christ gave us power over Satan. If something negative comes in your life, order it out and mean business in Christ's name. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you think he doesn't love you? When you cry out for help, when you need help for a reason to bring forth fruit, do you think he's not going to hear you? Of course he does. And he's going to answer it to the best of your benefit. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. There's nobody going to charge anything to them except God himself, because he's the one that judges, and he'll take it up with you. If some people may think that gives you a little license. No, it doesn't. He's still going to judge you, and he expects more from those that have more. By that I mean doing what's right. When you know, you know. What a beautiful thing that we have this comforter that defends us in the world when you set out to do Christ's work, to produce fruit, even in your own personal life, to find rest. Mansion, mono. But you can have that rest in daily life. Peace of mind. Not a troubled world. But within that peace and souls, you have that love. Not when you're in heaven, but even now and there also. Even more so there. But you can have that today. Peace of mind, knowing what God is doing in this world today with the nations, what's transpiring. It's written. Have you read it? You might as well. You know, he expects his people to keep informed. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you, Father, for the comforter, the paraclete, Father. Thank you so much for sending a full-time, love, wise, and perfect counselor, Father, to help us defend as that needs to be defended and accomplish that needs to be accomplished and produce fruit where fruit need be produced. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you. Amen, amen, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
So that pretty well answers that for you, does it not? Shirley from Illinois. I have wondered if America is mentioned prophetically in the Bible. If so, what scriptures and verses refer to our beloved America? Thank you so much. Well, How forgetful would God be if he took the superpower of superpowers, a nation that even on its money says, "In God we trust," whose constitution basically is taken from the law of God, and a nation that was founded whereby we to escape forced religion, where we would have freedom of religion, and the fact that God's children who went north over the Caucasus Mountains, later settling Europe and later moving here, God said, "I'll gather them in the end times." Even in Ezekiel 38 and 39, they will live in unwalled cities. We don't have walls around our cities. Don't need them. We can take care of business without walls, okay? And Isaiah chapter 18, I feel, gives you the start. And then wherever God's people move and he gathers them together, it's mentioning America, the land of the free, that takes forth God's word. Many places that we will always control our gates, where those children scattered would gather. Dora from Texas, I would like to know what it means in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about tongues, or what it is saying if you don't believe in tongues or talking in tongues. Thank you. Okay, and I'm glad you liked the study, but you are confused about tongues. I hope you have a Strong's Concordance. I would like for you to look the word up that is translated tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What it means is a language. And it means a language other than the one you were born with. It means a language you have learned, you have absorbed. And that you are able, God understands all languages. That's why he said, when you pray, God and the angels know what you're saying. But if you only have one tongue, one language, and you feel that you should go to, I always use this example, little Carrie. Let's say that God wanted to send me to Old Mexico. And what 14 means, if I go down to Old Mexico, though I know some Spanish, I'm not fluent enough to teach there, so I've got to take an interpreter. Or they're not even going to know when to say amen, because they won't know what I'm saying. It wouldn't do much good to go preaching if they couldn't hear you, right? They wouldn't know what you were saying. So he said, don't ever go there. The whole idea is taking God's truth to the world everywhere. And he said, don't go if you don't have an interpreter. It'd be like a horn playing without a harmony. It'd sound awful, okay? Well, who would want to go to church and have somebody speak in a foreign tongue to them for a full hour without an interpreter? But then the beauty is, he said, don't ever allow two that need an interpreter to speak. Don't let more than two speak following each other. Why? It's kind of boring. And if you have two of them in a row, it really gets boring. He said, then go on back and have somebody that can speak that tongue, necessarily, that is natural to them, where they can really carry the... A gifted interpreter is a beautiful thing. Like, if I were to say, Jesus is the one, Well, if somebody in Spanish were to translate that where I said, Jesus is the one, they would say, Jesus uno. That wouldn't get it. Expression must follow through, whether it's emphatic or whether it sleeps. So he would have to say, Jesus uno. Okay, I think you probably got the, if you're going to teach somewhere where they don't speak English, you better be able to speak their language, or they'll think you're a nutcase, okay, without an interpreter. Not necessarily a nutcase, they just won't know what you're saying. And who would be dumb? They would be a nutcase to go teach somewhere where the people couldn't understand. Tina from North Carolina, when a person commits murder, are they judged by the person later in life? Do all people go to heaven until Judgment Day? Yep. Luke chapter 16 documents that both rich man and Lazarus went to heaven. They could see Abraham. They could see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, see the throne of God. Awaiting what? Judgment. That's it. When a person murders a person, that's my opinion. I feel that they're going to have a little something. Don't you think they should have something to say about it? I think they should. I mean, after all, their life was taken. Betty from Kentucky, can you please give me scripture that says women must work to support their children? I can give you a scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that says if a man won't support his family, he's worse than an infidel. How would that one do? Okay. I don't know of any scripture. God knows that a mother is going to work to support her children. God knows a mother has that natural instinct. She's going to feed her children. Whatever it takes, she's going to feed them. But at the same time, I'm going to tell you what. A man that won't support his offspring, a man that won't support his family, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, a very doctrinal book, he's worse than an infidel. What is his chances of going to heaven? Nada. He's not going to make it. That's pretty dangerous stuff. Ellis from Florida, and I'm out of time. In the original language, how is it worded, antichrist? Real quickly, antichristos, which means instead of Jesus, instead of Christ. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a bunch for a reason. You love studying God's Word. That makes my day, and that makes God's day. When you make His day, He's going to make yours. You can count on it. It really makes Him happy. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you know something? Bless God. He will always bless you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But most important, this, you stay in His Word. Set just a little bit of time each day aside for Him in His Word. Every day in it's a good day, even with trouble. Know why? Jesus is the living Word.